God. I love to be in His presence. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the book of 1 Peter. In the very first chapter of the first book of Peter. Beginning with verse number 3, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of God's holy and precious Word. How many love God's Word?
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how we love and thank You, God, for Your blessings, for Your anointing, Your mercy and grace. God, for those who have gathered here this morning, I pray an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that You anoint these lips of clay this morning, this vessel, God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning, God, that we might be submissive, obedient, God, to Your Word and to Your will. We do remember those who are sick, many are afflicted, praying, God, that You would touch them with Your healing power. And Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who is not prepared for that day, who has not accepted Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, pray that this would be the day that they would make that spiritual commitment. And we'll give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory if we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn, shake somebody's hand. Tell them how much you love them. You may be seated. Praise God. Come on, that shouldn't be a hard thing to do. That should be easy. Those words should flow out of your mouth. Good morning, I love you. Amen. We are to love one another as Christ hath loved us. This morning, for just a little while, I want to preach concerning Peter's words here on a topic that's simply titled, God's Keeping Power. God's Keeping Power. Those are two very energetic words, keeping and power. Thank God for the power, and thank God for the power that keeps on giving, that keeps on blessing, that keeps on anointing. Peter here begins to touch on a subject matter that is very near to our hearts. This Wednesday night, we went in depth about the streets of gold and the majesty and the walls of jasper that the Lord Himself has prepared for those that love Him and those that keep His commandments and are filled with His Spirit. In other words, those born-again believers. Are you glad to be one? I said, are you glad to be one? Are you thankful this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ? And he begins to touch on something here, and I was intrigued with the word kept. And I began to do a little study and a little reference on it, and basically, according to most scholars and most writers that I was able to find, it comes from a military word or a military meaning that basically means guarded or garrisoned. And how many knows that time and time in the Bible when people were apprehended, some were put in the prison, some were put in the inner prison, but almost without fail, there were guards around them to keep them in, to keep anybody from helping them escape. They were, you know, all the times they were there. Paul and Silas were thrown in the innermost prison for fear that some of the disciples might come and steal them away. And it was the obligation and the responsibility of those who were put in charge to guard them, not to go to sleep, but to be very vigilant and to be open-eyed when anything out of the ordinary happened. They were there to guard them. And I thought that was quite unique that the Apostle Peter chose that particular term
to describe the keeping power of Almighty God. Man, if we have things down here that are precious to us, we have certain steps of guarding those things. Some find solace in a safety deposit box. Some, they tell me, would even dig places in their yard and put things in a can and put it in the yard and cover it up. I don't really have anything to put in a can in the yard, I don't think. Some will put it in certain investments and bank accounts and savings accounts and 401ks. And I believe with all of my heart, as I was reading this, I believe that we as a people, some of us, have learned to put more faith and trust in the government and the banks and other things than we do in God. And can I remind us that is a very dangerous and slippery slope that we tend to tread on when we put more faith in man than we do in God. How many knows that man can fail you? How many knows that banks can fail? How many know that economies can go south? How many knows that nations can fall by the wayside? But how many also knows God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? He will not fail. He's just as mighty. He's just as powerful, just as strong as He ever was. I want my faith, I want my trust to be put in Almighty God. And if I put my faith and trust in Him first, I believe that everything else that pertains to my life, that God will in fact take care of. Believe that with all of my heart. It also means or refers to not only a garrison or a guarding, but it also refers to protected, shielded, and preserved. Glory to God. If you can shout reading Webster's dictionary, you can shout reading the Bible. Man, almost shouted when I saw that. Amen. I thought I had a pretty good idea, but I liked the words that they said it referred to. It refers to protected. How many knows that we are protected by the power of God? Glory to God. It doesn't matter. You know, we can be concerned about worldly events, but we don't need to be worried about them. I believe with all of my heart that I'm in the palm of God's almighty hand. He's going to protect me no matter what. I can't do anything except but put my faith and trust in Him, and really that's all I need to do, because He's been protecting me for years, and I believe that that will continue. How many knows God's able? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God is able. Say it like you mean it this morning. Not only is God's power able to protect us, it shields us. Glory to God. Man, I remember back when automobiles were not required to have seat belts. Amen. Some of you can remember right along with me. I can tell by the way you're laughing. I remember when you could ride in the back of a pickup truck and hope and pray daddy didn't have to slam the brakes on. Amen. But I remember many, many times that when a little one would be in the front seat of the car, my mother would be driving. If she had to stop, that hand went out. You remember that? Amen. Automatically, without even thinking, when she began to stop or somebody stopped in front of her, that hand went out to protect that little one that was sitting in the seat beside her. How many knows that God is not only a protector, He shields us. Glory to God. Oh, listen. So many times we only thank God because we've gone through an experience that He has helped us through. I believe we ought to thank God even though we don't go through experiences that He kept us from. Amen. He shields us from all of these problems, all of these troubles. You say, Brother Eddie, I still have problems and trials. Yeah, but they don't affect you like they would if you did not have a relationship with the Lord. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Didn't say the armor would keep them from shooting at you. Hello? Come on. Sometimes the armor is just full of little dents. Sometimes that shield is just full of the fiery darts. But if it hadn't been for that armor, if it hadn't been for that shield, those little dents and those fiery darts would have been penetrating my spirit. But because He shields me, every fiery dart that Satan throws against me is going to bounce off of me. It will become of non-effect because of He that is within me. You ought to be thankful this morning for what God shields you from and for what God protects us from. Hallelujah. But I do believe in this particular passage of Scripture that Peter chose a very different topic. Peter knew the protecting power of God. He knew, amen, the shielding power of God. But he used a military definition or a military word to describe how that God has kept us by His power. He has guarded us. But He talks not so much about being free from pain, being free from affliction, being free from turmoil or strife, but what He chooses to tell us that God has kept our inheritance.
Oh, you don't get it.
I said you don't have to worry. Come on. Because God is keeping our inheritance. It is in the greatest of hands. It is in the greatest of care. And the Apostle Peter is telling us here that you don't have to worry about it. God has it under control. Man, the closer I got to retirement, the more I began to pull up my 401k. And I would come home sometimes and, Penny, did you see what the stock market did? She said, stay off the computer. Quit looking. But honey, we need enough. I want to make sure there's something there. I don't have to worry about, is it enough? I don't have to worry, is it going to be sufficient? I don't have to worry, glory to God, if it'll be there. It's there waiting on me, praise God. Man cannot touch it, glory to God. It's in the power of God to keep it. For those saints of God. Hallelujah. Can I give you a little encouragement? Can I just tell you the best is yet to come? Glory to God. Oh, brother, how do you mean it gets better than this? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Amen. We can enjoy the blessings of God. We can shout now. We can praise Him now. We can worship Him now. But we're still in a body of flesh. Wait till that body of flesh is receiving that inheritance. Wait till that body of flesh, amen, sheds off this old blood and receive that glorified body that the Lord has in store for us. What is kept or protected? Our inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved. Praise God. Oh, hello, Mr. Desk Clerk. My wife and I would like to spend a week in your facility. I hear it's rated superbly. here that the rooms are immaculate, that the service is grandeur, that the food is exquisite. Please don't ask me to spell exquisite. I barely say it. But here we are. We're ready to receive our room. Just a moment, sir, while I look at the reservations. What is your name again? Spell that for me. Sir, I do not see your name. But sir, it must be there. I felt sure it was there. But sir, I do not see your name. And I'm sorry, because if I do not see your name, then you cannot be allowed to come into this place of business and sleep in those rooms that have been prepared for those names that are on the book. But what am I going to do? Sir, may I suggest that you had plenty of time to have your name reserved? Can I remind you of the opportunities that you had to make reservations? It's really not that difficult. But I thought surely that I'd be able just to come on in. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because your name is not there. But that name that is there is protected. It is guarded. Hallelujah. It is preserved. Peter said, undefiled, incorruptible. Thank God. I don't have to worry about my inheritance because I know who holds the key. I know the Heavenly Father has provided for us. Amen. I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. I'm going to live for the Lord with all of my ability, but my ability is not going to get me to heaven. I'm going to come to church as much as I can, but my coming to church is not going to get me to heaven. My name is on the roll book here, but that's not where God is looking. Where He is looking is the spiritual DNA. Thank God that my blood, amen, and His blood now one and the same. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. I have put off the old man. I have received the new man. I've got an inheritance, glory to God, that money can't buy, that I have not seen, ear hasn't heard, what God has prepared for me and for those that are born again through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank God. So thank God. Glory to God. No wonder Stephen, when he stood before his accusers, and even Paul, Saul then, was there in the company. They picked those stones up. They began to stone Stephen for preaching Jesus' resurrection. They thought that they were doing the right thing when they took his life. That's hard when we think that God is a protector. Because our mindset is that if God is a protector, why do those stones hit me? And why do those stones hurt me? And why am I introduced to pain so often? and the turmoil and the strife. But Stephen got a hold of something that took him beyond the pain of the stones that bounced off of unmercifully off of his body. Can you imagine? Even to get hit with a little pebble, but stones the size of your fist pounding upon him. And even in his death, he looked up. Oh, and he got a glimpse of his inheritance that is protected by God. Let me tell you, Satan can't harm it. Stones can't penetrate it. Glory to God. Nothing on this earth, amen, can take that away. Amen. And he began to see what God had prepared for him. Glory to God. And a glorified body that'll never feel pain anymore. Hallelujah. Because it's kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. I thought how that down here, people and institutions and places of business take every precaution whatsoever to make certain things safe and impenetrable. How many knows there are forces in the world today that all they're doing is looking for a way to take something that's not theirs? And we take all these measures of protection in the banks, and now it's this identity theft. And I shouldn't be concerned, because if anybody ever gets mine, they're going to give it right back. I don't want to be him. I want to be somebody's got some. But all precautions and all the necessary guidelines are taken. And how many knows they still find a way? My wife is trying to get victory over something that happened over the holidays. We bought some gift cards for some different people. And when one of those persons went to use the gift card, I'm sorry, sir, it's already been redeemed. Hadn't even been out of anybody's hands. We followed up. Somebody in another town at another store had gone online and stole and redeemed that card. We thought it was safe. We thought it was protected. But if it's truly an inheritance, Lord, help me say this. Help me not to be offensive. Help me not to be hateful. But I'm so afraid that people are expecting an inheritance that they have never made provision for. I've been a good person. I've been a loving husband. I've been a faithful wife. I attend church on a regular basis. I read my Bible. I even pray. But if you provided for your inheritance through a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, have you had the blood applied to your sinful nature? If not, there's going to be gnashing of teeth, the wagging of the head. Would you look again? Please see that my name is there. But if your name is there, if you've been born again, there is an inheritance. There is a better life. There is a heaven provided for us. Let me tell you the reason that God protects us. I believe that He does. The reason that God shields us, and thank God He does. You know, storms come, but He's still a shield. We have stories in the Bible how that some of the most, faithful and trusting men of God went through fiery furnaces, went in the den of a lion, faced a giant. But God kept them through those things. And He shields us. You know, we don't want to be thrown in the fire. But God was able to shield them from the pain and the hurt of the fire. And all of these wonderful things. And He guards us. You know, I was thinking as I was reading this, especially when I saw the word garrisons. And I thought about, we're so often thinking about what God keeps us from coming to us. But I think sometimes God keeps us in our place. Well, at least that's what He spoke to me. There's times I don't need to escape. There's times I don't need to go out. He protects me and keeps me, amen, with a garrison of His power and of His might. God's keeping power. And He preserves us. Glory to God. Better than I've been able to preserve myself. It used to take me no time to brush my hair. Well, it didn't. But now I got to make sure some of them cover some spots. Amen. Haven't been preserved as well as I thought I might need to be. But thank God for brushes and hairspray. Not into mousse yet, but I may get there. Amen. I'm excited to know that there's something in a spray can that you can get the same color of your hair. So if I get to preaching in a big way and something sort of runs down my face, you say, God, He hadn't been preserved. But can I tell you, that ain't the case with my inheritance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You ever had a bad day? Come on, you ever had a day when you thought God wasn't even listening to you? That's not the case for my inheritance. Oh, have you ever stood before a doctor and he wags his head and says, there's nothing else I can do? That's not true with my inheritance. Glory to God. Amen. Have you ever had a situation that just pulled the rug completely out from under you and you didn't know which way to go or what to do or who to turn to? That's not the case with my inheritance. I know that my inheritance is preserved, glory to God. Hallelujah. By His promise. Kept by the power of God. But it takes faith. Peter said, through faith. And it takes salvation. You can't just hope your way to heaven, folks. Come on. It's not my plan. I didn't make the plan. I'm merely giving to you the plan of God. Man, if it was left up to me, I'd let everybody in. But it ain't left up to me. But Jesus Christ has made it so simple. Amen. So many people still have not made provision. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That takes faith to believe that. Because fact doesn't back it up. Theory doesn't back it up. Man's opinion. Said that's impossible. Can I tell you that nothing is impossible with God? We must have faith. We must live by faith. It takes faith to have a born-again experience with the Lord. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He simply spoke it to existence. Now scientists and a lot of folks, they differ with that. Because they're not looking through eyes of faith. They're looking through natural eyes. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I've not seen my inheritance, but I believe with all of my heart it's there. I have not seen the street of gold, but according to the Word, it's there. Amen. I've not seen the majesty, the splendor, the magnificent things that are in heaven, but by faith I believe that I'm going there to a better place. Hallelujah. I make reference so many times to the very profound farmer who told his granddaughter, "We are not put here to live. We are put here to prepare to live. I'm just a stranger. I'm on a journey. I am not home yet, but I'm going home." Praise God. If you put your hands together. You know where your destination is. Why does the Lord love us? And I know for a fact that Peter was not necessarily talking about protecting us from the suffering or from the situations that occur, because he goes on to talk about in that particular chapter about that we will endure sufferings, amen, and we will endure strife. But the inheritance is protected. But why does the Lord do that? Peter sums it up in verse 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or chosen people, set aside, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Yes. And this hits home so much. "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." Are you thankful? "Which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Because of His mercy, because of His grace, I have an inheritance." Thank God. Put your hands together if you're looking for that time. If you're looking for that place that the Lord has prepared. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If our music would return, please. Don't be that person who tries to persuade that your name is there when it's not. But be that person who has the assurance that you've been born again so that you can go in to receive that inheritance. There's a little verse that we sing. Sing it, I guess, in G maybe. "Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be?" Think about it. "Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? ask this question, where will you be? I ask this question to you today. Are you ready? Do you have an inheritance? Oh, it's nothing that you can do on your own. In fact, you have to relinquish your independence. And you have to come to an altar of repentance. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. Ask Him to apply the blood to your sin-stained life. Open up your heart's door. Invite Jesus into your life. Be born again. Be born again. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, is there one this morning? Feel such an urgency. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity. Will you make it right? If not here, then somewhere. You know, you don't have to be saved in a church. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But you do have to be saved. If you haven't made that preparation, please do too before eternity. May God bless you is our prayer. We love you dearly. God be with you.